St. Louis hosts one of two major podcasts of The Handmaid's Tale. There are many, many fans of that. Please welcome the three creators of the May Day, A Handmaid's Tale podcast. And we want to welcome them to the program today. They are co-hosts Justin Daniels, Tiana Berry-Jones, and Rhea Van Ryn. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Well, you just had, did you just meet Margaret Atwood for the first time?
We did, yes.
Did you know you were going to, that was going to happen today?
I was told that we would cross paths, so, you know.
Well, you definitely did. What was that like? I mean, here you've devoted so much time and effort to her work, and then you get to meet the lady in person.
It's humbling, I think, but exciting at the same time, especially being here in St. Louis where we don't always get major figures in our presence, so.
A little surreal.
Yeah.
Definitely surreal.
One of my favorite authors.
Yeah. Well, I know. Let's talk about that. Well, so this podcast is really just months old, isn't it? And Jason, aren't you the one that kind of started the whole thing?
It was my idea, yes.
Justin, I said Jason.
Yes, it's all right. At this point, I answered anything with a J.
Okay.
After years of my life as Justin.
So it's happened before?
Yes, constantly.
So, Justin, tell me how this began for you.
It is due to a combination of Adderall and Rhea over there. So Rhea suggested I read Roxane Gay's Bad Feminist a while back, I think last summer. And she had an essay in there about female authors and how their books were marketed, which led me to read more female authors, which led me to read The Handmaid's Tale, at which point I also coincidentally got on some ADD medication, which lets me do ideas that I actually have in my head. So I called Tiana first and said, hey, how would you like to do a podcast? They're doing a TV show about The Handmaid's Tale because the book absolutely blew me away. And Tiana was on it right away. And then I asked Rhea because Rhea has more degrees than I have fingers on my hands. And knew that she would be amazing and knew she was absolutely a big fan. So that's how it all came together.
Yeah. And when did you all first read the book and what did it mean to you?
You know, I think I read it in college at some point. I was a sociology major and then it stuck with me as a question of how do we deal with societal problems? And when we deal with societal problems, who benefits with the solution to that problem and who suffers perhaps with the solution to that problem? So I ended up teaching the book in a social theory class at the University of North Carolina and watched my students really deal with what do we do with a theory about society that's written in a fictional way.
Well, Tiana, what do you think? I asked Margaret Atwood if she can predict the future. She says no, but everyone else seems to think so. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she has certainly has a knack for taking themes that she sees in the world, not just in micro everyday life, but macro in what's going on in society at large and kind of extrapolating out, like, what would be the logical conclusion if these people got their way and society progressed the way they wanted. I think it's just really an extrapolation of that because everything in the book has really happened or is really happening somewhere in the world. None of it is made up. And I think that's something that's often lost when we're talking about this kind of material. And she's definitely got a knack for that. So yeah. I certainly hope it's not part of our future here.
Well, your Handmaid's Tale podcast, you call it May Day. So I'll let you explain that.
Us naming it May Day was purely by accident. Now, the May Day name comes from the book, which is in the book there is May Day, which is the underground
resistance
that is trying to fight the leaders of Gilead and kind of get the Handmaid's
Tale. Well, I was thinking May Day, like the end of the world.
Right. Yeah. And so us naming it May Day was just because there was already another podcast called The Handmaid's Tale Podcast at the time, and I knew May Day would sound good, and so that's what we did.
Well, since there was another podcast, why did you do one?
I think we have a unique set of voices that speak to different parts of society. We all come with different backgrounds and different experiences, and we wanted there to be, just as in the show, there are different ways of resisting the society for our podcast to have different ways of understanding the show.
Now, tell me a little bit about the podcast, because part of it, I think you talk with people involved with the series, and then you talk amongst yourselves. So how's it structured?
The basic structure when we started was we did a podcast episode for every episode of the show. That was essentially to break down the show and the episode and what we thought about it, any issues that we want to discuss that came out of that episode. The talking to people was just really my strategy of saying, okay, this show is dark and heavy, and I felt like we needed something to lighten it up and also to focus on people that were doing good things. So my strategy was to find anyone, the people involved with the show came later, but find anyone that was working towards anything good, especially in areas of women's rights, to talk to that we could put on the podcast. So that's how that came about.
So you've just been doing it a few short months, though. What kind of reaction have you been getting?
It's been positive. as Margaret Atwood said on an interview I actually saw today, that you're not going to make everybody happy with everything you do, and I'm not trying to. We are pretty we do a pretty in-depth analysis, so I would say that it's for a big fan of the show, because we do go pretty granular and go through kind of scene by scene of the show, just because that's the only way I could think to do it. Because if you watch this show, the production elements of the show and the way they did the show is as good as you're going
to
see anywhere.
Is some of it a little hard to talk about?
It can be. Certainly, there are those, some of us have experienced some of the problems that are in the show. While we were doing the show, I was dealing with a very difficult pregnancy. And so to think about what it's like to be in a society where your body is regulated like that was very difficult for me.
For you, Tiana?
Yeah, I mean, part of the hallmark of our podcast is we are very frank. And we say what we think, and we talk a lot about our experiences as they relate to the show. So I think, yeah, having a diverse set of people talking about the show and the parallels we see between that in our actual reality.
Well, let's share some of your podcast with our listeners. We have some clips here, just some random things. We'll get your comments on it. Let's hear the first one.
I kind of thought that there was like these two different prayer moments going on, right? Like Serena Joy's out there praying for this pregnancy test to be positive, and you got Offred in the other room who is probably leaning up against that bathtub going, please God, please God, please God, don't let that be pregnant. Because it can't, I mean, if it is positive, obviously going with Sarah's, other than Sarah's thinking aside, which is, I don't get the crap beat out of me by Serena anymore, there's no good outcome for
there
her.
There is no good outcome.
You know? Well, she doesn't get sent to the colonies if she's pregnant.
Okay. Sure. Again, everything being relative, I guess.
Yeah, I've thought a lot throughout the series about, you know, in that situation, would you be hoping to get pregnant, or would I be hoping to get pregnant or not? Like, either way is terrible.
Yeah, it's all
I can't think of any real pro at all for either side.
No.
The pros are also cons.
Yes.
I don't get sent to the colonies, where I'm also going to be killed.
Right.
And that is a segment from May Day, a Handmaid's Tale podcast. Our guests are the co-hosts, Justin Daniels, Tiana Barry Jones, and Rhea Van Ryn. So how long are your podcasts last, and how many people do you hear from?
Our podcasts generally are about an hour. It's part of the charm with our show, I'll say, is that we have four hosts. So it is difficult to keep it under that time frame, just because everybody has a lot of opinions and everybody has a really good voice and a lot of things to bring to the table.
Who's missing, Warren?
No, Sarah is Sarah Boyce is our fourth, and she's not available.
Oh, when I said Warren, here's where I was confused. Warren Littlefield is a producer of the Handmaid's Tale
series.
That is
correct.
And you had him on?
I did have the opportunity to interview him just last week, actually.
We have a cut from that.
I grew up in a household that was mostly women, two grandmothers, my mom. My dad was out there working, providing a meal on the table, and then also a sister. So there was mostly women. And so strong women are something I've never feared. I've embraced. Bruce and I knew that if we walked into taking on what Margaret created, that we needed really strong women's voices, and they bring out the best in us. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with the women who have been such a critical part of the show, and with directors, with department heads, we're stacked up with lots of strong women who just bring it all. And I think that has me feeling incredibly grateful, constantly learning, and we feel quite united here. There's just a wonderful sense of purpose as we go about our 18-hour days.
Interesting. How can Margaret Atwood's dark tales have such a positive impact? I don't know.
I think the positivity.
I mean, some people might be scared.
It's definitely scary. And you were asking how people were reacting. And the reactions to the show itself are kind of across the board. For a lot of people, it's tough to watch. One of my things I like to do is I interact with listeners and people that are watching on Twitter. And a lot of them are like, nope, this hits too close to home. It's too much for me. I have to turn it off. But I think the positivity comes from people seeing that there is this place that this could go, and giving them an outlet to say, okay, how can I not do this?
And talking about the themes of feminism, I mean, I grew up in a time when, depending who said it, it could be a compliment or an insult. The same word.
That's what's great about the show, I think, is that it shows many varieties of feminism and allows people to have something concrete to talk about. Feminism is not an abstract ideal, but something that we can see the stories actually playing out.
And Tiana, you addressed this very topic recently. Why don't we hear that?
So to say that it's not a feminist show, to me, was to kind of spit in the face of people who have made a stand for women, to say, purposely that feminism is a good thing. Everyone should be a feminist. This shouldn't even be a question of what is harmful about this label. And to her credit, the other day she said, I think she recanted and said, no, I am a feminist. I do think this is a feminist show. But as long as we allow that word to be an insult and to be a problem, we are only going to get so far with how we can fight for women. Because this is a story about women who are not allowed to read and women who are not allowed to be in charge of their bodies. And so to say that it's really about everyone in the show, I think is a little bit inaccurate.
So should we feel good about things?
I think so. I think the fact that we're here able to talk about this and to process it means that we're getting somewhere and we're looking in a hopeful direction.
What's on the next podcast?
Oh, man. I think the Emmy reaction, obviously, from their huge night on Sunday and the weekend before. That'll be a lot of it.
Did anybody have a feeling about the purse?
I didn't feel one way. I didn't even notice the purse until I saw the Sarah Silverman tweet about the purse. But we'll have that. And then we're actually going to be talking to a couple people in Ireland about it.
How can people find your podcast?
We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as @handmadepodcast, like the handmaids, @handmadepodcast. And then you can find us everywhere you get your podcasts. So if you go to iTunes, just search for Mayday, the Handmaid's Tale podcast, and you will find us.
We've been talking to the co-hosts of the Handmaid's Tale podcast, which is Mayday, Justin Daniels, Tiana Berry-Jones, and Rhea Van Ryn. Thank you all for being here and continued success. You're having fun, I can tell.
Absolutely. Thank Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for joining us today.